Oh, here we are. Good morning, everyone. Like the 10 of us that showed up because of the snowstorm today. And I know, I'm teasing, right? Hey, welcome online. I hope all of you that are not here today, or at least I hope you're online. I'm calling you guys out because the sun is shining. There's less water on the road than there has been with all the rain that we've had for the last 3 weeks. But, you know, most of us grew up on the prairies. We could drive through this. So I'm just teasing. If you're online, we want to welcome you. We're so glad that we have that and that we're able to do that and you can join us. And, of course, I know we don't all drive in this kind of stuff. And I did. I grew up in the prairies. I can drive through a lot of stuff in, like, a front-wheel drive Honda Civic. So now I have an all-wheel drive for the island. So that gets me everywhere. A few years back, we had a pretty significant snowstorm. I'm not talking about the one in '96 that everyone remembers, but just a handful of years ago, we had a snowstorm, and my son Lennon, who doesn't have soccer today because soccer got canceled because of the snowstorm today, he was at his girlfriend's house. And this has nothing to do with the sermon, but I'm telling you anyways. And he's at his girlfriend's house up on Triangle Mountain. And he's like, hey, Dad, like, it's okay if you can't come and get me tonight because of the snowstorm. My girlfriend's parents said that I can stay in the spare room tonight. I'm like, I grew up in Calgary. I am coming to get you. Just so you know. There will never be a big enough snowstorm on this island that I will not be able to come get you from your girlfriend's house. Lennon's like, oh, why did my game have to be canceled today? Well, it's good to be here this morning. So over the last few weeks here, we've been going through our series, You in 5 Years. Or me in 5 years, us in 5 years. What does that look like? And we've had some great sermons. I think some. I mean, I'm not tuning my own horn, but I think the last two were just wonderful messages. And this is kind of what we've been walking through: is the idea of what could our lives look like in 5 years' time? Like, what could our lives look like in five years' time if we gave our lives over to God more and more every day? Like, if our faith journey took us to a place where we decide every day, today I'm going to give more and more of myself to God and His kingdom plan than to make it about myself. And then the question is, what could my life look like? Like, in 5 years, if that's where I went. So our first week of this series, what we did was we talked about, the question that we were really looking at was, who do I want to be? Like, that's the first question that we really looked at. How will God transform my life if I give myself over to Him? How will I align myself with God's kingdom plan? That's the first thing that we looked at. And then the second week, the question was, why is it so difficult to change? Because, man, changing is hard. It's hard stuff. It's hard to do that. Like, and really, I think what we came up with was the idea of inertia. Like, inertia. Inertia, what happens is we're not moving. We're not moving because we let fear or comfort or both stop us from moving anywhere. So why is it so hard to change? Because we're afraid to move. But the thing about movement is that movement creates change. You can't have movement without creating change. And then last week, the question that we were looking at was, how am I going to change? How am I going to do this? How am I going to start on this journey with my faith? And the answer to that from Dan was one step at a time. How are we going to change? We're not going to make the entire change all in one shot. But we're going to do it one step at a time because God's going to work along with us. And He's not going to say, hey, I'm flipping this whole thing upside down on you from one day to the next. And you're going to have all this shock and you're going to have to. He's going to walk with us. And what that's about is, it's about taking steps of obedience long before we can even recognize or see any of the visible progress. It's trusting God in it and going, I can't see it. I can't see the change. I can't feel the change. But I'm trusting that God is taking me there. And I'm just going to be obedient to Him. Because the truth is, and we sing it here in the mornings, is that God's at work all the time. He's at work even when we don't recognize that there's been growth, even when we don't recognize that there's movement. We don't recognize it, but God's still at work in the middle of that. So today, the question that we're going to look at is when? When am I going to change? Like, when am I going to start doing some of this stuff? When am I going to start moving? A year ago, I decided that I needed to get in some better shape. Like, I needed to do something. And so Heidi and I talked about it, and it was kind of like that New Year's resolution and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, okay, we're going to start working out, and this is going to be our best year physically. And then, like, January came and went, and then February came and went, and I was like, oh, well, we talked about that, eh? I guess like we're 2 months in. Like maybe we should start. And we did. We started doing that. And we started working out and all that kind of stuff. As time went on, I was probably in the best shape I had been in a long time coming into the summer, as I was getting ready for my sabbatical and getting ready to go out to Spain to do my Camino walk. And then obviously, as you all know, I came back and I got sick, and all of that went sideways. And as I'm laying on my bed for like those 2 months, the last thing I'm doing is working out. Like I'm not. That's like, I don't even want to get off the couch to like get to the kitchen or anything like that. And what happened in the middle of that is I lost a pile of weight. So like when I went in to have one of my procedures done, they had to weigh me because they were going to sedate me for the procedure. So they needed to know. And so the girl goes, "Oh, how much do you weigh?" I'm like, "I don't know, like 160 pounds, 165. She's like, "Well, we're going to weigh you because we don't want to give you so much that you're never going to wake up." I'm like, "Well, the way I'm feeling right now, it wouldn't be such a bad thing. I wake up singing with the saints. I'm okay with that. Sorry about everyone else that's left behind, but..." And so she weighs me, and I weighed 152 pounds. 152. I was like, "Oh, this is the best weight loss plan ever, except for like the catheter. That's not a good part of the weight loss. That's a terrible part of the weight loss." But now we decided to start again, and we talked about starting again. And I was waiting for time again, kind of to get the clear from the doctor and say, "Hey, okay, you can kind of start again." So I started last week. And I thought, "Oh, I've lost all this progress. Like I had all this progress. I'd worked so hard, and now I'm here again, and I'm starting from step one." And so that Monday we started, and Monday I'm lifting my weights, and I'm doing my, because we do a video. Like I don't go to the gym because I don't want to go with a bunch of gym rats. So I'm in my house doing it, and I'm working out. And then on Tuesday morning I wake up, oh, I could hardly put my socks on. I was like, "Oh, this is a terrible idea. I think maybe I'll just get a catheter and lose some weight again." Like, that's how much my legs hurt, that I actually thought of that. But what happened was Wednesday we did it again, and I realized, you know what? Actually, the progress that I had in this actually didn't go away, and I recovered far quicker. And the work that I had put in already started to show up as the week went on, and we did our workouts and all that, and now we're doing it consistently, and I feel better every day. And so what happens is we think we're not making progress, so then we don't start. And we need to start, folks. Like, we need to start. And so it's about the idea of, when are we going to start responding to God? When are we going to start drawing closer to God? When are we going to start taking those steps that are going to move us towards transformation? Because that's what we want to do on our faith journey. We don't want to just sit still all the time because we're afraid to move. The idea between a journey is, or behind a journey, is that you're moving from one place to another, and there's a transformation that happens. So to begin answering that question of when, we have to look at the idea of time. Because we all have a pretty good sense of what we think time looks like and how time runs. But God has set up time. because he's outside of time. So we have to kind of understand first what he's talking about. So today's message is called From Evening to Morning. From Evening to Morning. It's about recognizing, really, at the end of it all, is about recognizing what is it that we do with the best of our time and what fits into the rest of our time. Like, that's what this is about this morning. Recognizing what is it that we're going to do with the very best of our time, and what are we going to try and fit into the rest of our time. So I want to look at a little bit of Scripture first, because there's a theme that's laid out in Scripture that talks about what our day should or could look like, as opposed to what our day and time looks like according to us. That theme is evening to morning. Evening to morning. So we're going to take a look at Exodus. Exodus 16, 13 to 17. That evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp. And the next morning, the area around the camp was wet with dew. And when the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as frost, we got frost out today, blanketed the ground. The Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. What is it? They asked each other. They had no idea what it was. And Moses told them, it's the food that the Lord has given you to eat. These are the Lord's instructions. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent. So the people of Israel, they did as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some gathered a little. But when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. And those who had gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who had gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. So here we have the Israelites, and they're going through the desert, and they're going around in circles, and they're trying to figure out where they're supposed to be and when they're supposed to be there and what their day is supposed to look like, and they're wandering, and God's taking care of them in the middle of their journey. And when he decides that he's going to feed his people, he begins with the evening and moves to the morning. So first there was the meat. Like in the evening, it was the quail and it was the meat. And so it starts with quail, and then in the morning, it's the manna. So God's miraculous work starts in the evening of the day and moves along into the morning. So meat at night and manna in the morning. And they say that manna, if you don't know anything about manna, they say that manna was kind of like they would make bread out of it almost. And then it tasted like honey. And I don't know about you, but when I read that, I think donuts. Like, that's what I think. I'm like, so like, God, you gave them donuts for breakfast? Because that opens a window for me. Like, that opens the window for me. I'm like, hey, it's Scripture. Like, this is how it's meant to be. I'm supposed to start the day. I'm supposed to end my night with meat. And if you guys at all, any of you see my Facebook, I made sausage yesterday, and we put it in the smoker yesterday. And it's like, oh. Like, if I can finish my night with, like, meat and then start my day with donuts, hey, man, that's the journey that I want to be on. Like, I'm in. Is that the faith journey? Baby, let's go. Sign me up. I'm ready. I'll start right now. I don't know how the Israelites were complaining. We're sick of meat and donuts. I don't know. But the idea behind this piece of Scripture and this theme is this, is that when God decided to step in miraculously, like when God decided that he was going to show up in a miraculous way in his people's lives, he started with the evening. There's got to be purpose to that. He didn't just accidentally start in the evening. It's God. He's got a plan and a theme for it. Psalm 90. We look at Psalm 90, and the psalmist here, what he's doing is he's actually describing your life as a day. So he's describing your whole entire life from birth to death. And he's describing it in a day. In the morning, it flourishes and grows up. In the evening, it's cut down and it withers. It's kind of like those plants that you see sometimes in the nature shows, and they just kind of pop up for like a few hours, and then they're gone. Your entire life, like your entire life is compared to the rising and not even just the setting of the sun, but right through. That's your whole life cycle. Ecclesiastes 11:6. Plant your seed in the morning and keep busy all afternoon, for you don't know if profit will come from one activity or another, or maybe both. So what we're reading here is this: hey, go out and plant in the morning. Plant your seeds in the morning. But in the evening, like, keep your hands busy. Don't just sit and do nothing, because you don't know what will succeed. Like, you don't know what's going to flourish. You don't know if it's going to be the thing that you've done in the morning. You don't know if it's the thing that you've done in the evening. You don't know if it's going to be both. Keep at the kingdom work throughout your whole day, from evening to morning. Because the thing is we don't know what God is watering. We don't know which seeds God is planting and nurturing and caring for. We don't know what's going to come out of it. So keep at the kingdom work throughout your whole day. And we can look at Mark 13:35. We're talking about Jesus here. And Jesus is actually talking. And we're talking about, when's Jesus coming back? Because that's, like, we could talk about that. That's pretty important. We should probably have that in our calendar somewhere. Mark 13:35, you too must keep watch, for you don't know when the master of the household will return, in the evening, at midnight, before dawn, or at daybreak. So this is Jesus talking, and the disciples, they're asking him, hey, like you're telling us that you're going to come back, and we're not really sure when. And so, you know, I'm sure a few of them, they've got their pens out, or their pencils out, and they're licking the pencil, and they've got their parchment, and they're like, oh, I'm putting this in my book, because he's going to give us the time and date. And I got to get this down before John does, and I got to get this down before Peter does, because I'm going to be the guy that's going to let everyone know, hey, here's the time, here's the date. And they're probably ready. They're like, oh, sweet, that's important. I hope it's like February 1st, 2025. I'm ready because I'm preaching. So Jesus, if you're coming back now, now's the time. Oh, shoot. Okay, another day. So they're asking, hey, Jesus, when are you coming back? And you know what Jesus says to them? I don't know. Maybe morning, maybe evening, maybe afternoon, maybe crack of dawn, maybe middle of the night. You know what you should do, though? This is Jesus talking. You know what you should do? Keep watch. Keep watch of the work that I'm doing for the kingdom, instead of worrying about penciling it into your calendar. So this theme of the evening to the morning, it's found right throughout Scripture. And actually, the Bible, like, it literally starts with this theme. Like, if you look at the beginning of the story, it starts with this, Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And then he separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. The whole first day. But here's the thing about us. We just don't look at it the same way, because it doesn't work for us, does it? Even more so in our North American culture. It's far different. Our day looks far different than what this is describing. We think that the day begins when we get out of bed. Like, we think the day begins around us. And that may look different for some people. Some people are up at 5:30 in the morning. Some people are up at 8. If Doug was here, hopefully he's watching online. Doug's retired. He's probably getting up at like 11 o'clock. Probably. Like, the day's half over. When I was working construction, I was out of the house by 5 in the morning. 11 o'clock, the day was almost over by then. Oh, I sure hope Doug's watching. You're not even here, Doug, and I'm taking shots at you. And I'm okay with that. I can live with that. We think that the day begins when we get out of bed between 8 a.m., roughly. Let's say 8 a.m. And we think the day ends roughly 5 to 5:30-ish. Like, that's our day. About 9 to 9.5 hours, let's say. That's the day. 9.5 hours, 9 hours. See, for the Jewish culture, especially in the Bible, the day was actually from sunset to sunset. It was the full 24 hours. We're looking at like 9.5. I'm going, whoo, that was a long day. I feel like that sometimes. You guys know I work in schools. There's some long days. But really, there's 15 hours of the day that are unaccounted for in our thinking and our way of looking at the day. The question I have for you this morning is, what could happen in our faith journeys if we made a shift in our time thinking? Like, what could happen if we shifted the way we think about time? Because really, what we are is we're calendar people. Like, we really are. Like, our lives are scheduled down to the very minute. Like, I've been to a few churches where they said, hey, yeah, we'd love to have you come in and share a little bit about your ministry that you do with Youth for Christ. You got 5 minutes. I'm like, first of all, I'm Latino. And I got like a million words. And like, my name takes 5 minutes if I'm going to give you my whole name. Like, you're giving me 5 minutes to tell you about my ministry. I didn't even get to my second last name. And I've been there, and they have a clock and a timer at the back of the church. And when you're running out of time, those numbers turn red. And you're looking at it going, 10, 9, 8. And I'm supposed to be talking, but I'm hypnotized by this. And I'm like, and we're bam, 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 every minute, every second. I get that we want to be efficient and get on with the things that we need to do. But man, like, I have some thoughts on this. Sometimes we just leave no room for the Holy Spirit. We're like, oh, church got to be an hour. We have to be out of here by noon. Although, having said that, next week's the Super Bowl and my team's in it. So whoever's preaching next week, take into account that I got to be out of here by a certain time. We got to have space for the leading of the Holy Spirit. But we are down to every second. Our calendars run our lives. I switched from the amazing Android system to the iPhone system. And it's this is hard. This phone is hard. And one of the things that I did was, when I made the switch, somewhere along the line, I took, oh, look at that, a picture of me and my wife. Isn't she beautiful? She's at home today. I don't know how to turn that off. Oh, there it is. So what I did was, I did some kind of a sync with all my contacts into my calendar. So people that I know on Facebook, people that I know on Insta, people that I know on WhatsApp, like, all these contacts somehow got into my calendar, and now I have every birthday of every person that ever lived on earth in my calendar. And I open up my calendar, and every day is full of birthdays. I'm like, I haven't talked to this person in 10 years. Like, I'm pretty sure I hid them on Facebook. And now I know when it's their birthday. We are calendar people. This is who we are. Our fridge at home has like every meal that we're going to eat that month and everything that the kids have to do. And this is who we are. And it does help, because then I don't have to keep asking Heidi, so where am I supposed to be today? And what am I supposed to do when I get there? And what time should I be there? The thing is if we look at time and the day in this way, what happens to us is that we try and fit a whole 24-hour day into 8 to 9 hours. Everything that we want to accomplish in life, we're trying to fit into this window of 8 to 9 hours. It doesn't give you a lot of space to listen to the Holy Spirit. I want to accomplish everything in this time slot because it works the best for me. The problem with this time slot, as much control as we think we have over it, it's that time of day, it's the time in our life that we actually have the least amount of control over, if you think about it. Like, the things that could go wrong in that 9 hours is unbelievable. You could get a flat tire on the way to work. Hey, your appointment could get canceled. Hey, it could snow 2 inches and you got to cancel church. Hey, you got to, like, everything that could go wrong could happen there because everyone is doing all the things at the same time. So we actually have very little control over that 9 and a half. We think we do because it's in our calendar, but we actually don't. It's the craziest and busiest part of our life. It really doesn't take much to throw your schedule off. And what happens then is that time starts to bleed, and those things start to bleed into your other time, into your evening time, into your after hours. And really what happens to us is that when we look at our evenings, we look at our evenings as our time. I've done the 8 to 9 hours of things. Now I get the next 15 hours for me. It's me time. It's my best time. It's my time to rest. It's my time to work out. It's my time to go hang out with my friends. It's my time to make sausage. It's my time. It's my time. It's my time for me. And what we do is that we take our time with God and we try to jam it into the rest of our other time, into our 8 to 9 hours. That's not the best of our time. We're really not giving him the best of our time. We're giving him the rest of our time. And if we want to see transformation, if we want to let Jesus have his way with our lives in the next 5 years, then we need to shift our time management. If you are ready for transformation in your life, then you need to give God the best of your time, not the rest of your time. We're not giving God our leftovers. Like, I don't mind leftovers. Like, that's fine for me. But we're, like, that's not what we're handing to God. We want to give him our first fruits. We want to give him the very best of ourselves. We need to flip-flop our thinking. We really do. We need to flip-flop it from penciling God time with everything else. We need to take that out. Because what happens is, a lot of the time, we neglect that chunk of time and the opportunity where we could have the most focus and time spent with God, the transformative time, and we're neglecting it. We're saying that time isn't important enough. I want transformation, but I want it on my terms. So what we need to do is we need to anchor the best of our time with God. Whatever else happens with the rest of our time, like come what may, we remain anchored in him if we start that way. If you start by anchoring yourself with God, come what may, you will remain anchored in God. So then how do we shift into this? Like, how do we start? Boundaries is a good way to start. Boundaries and filters for your time. And this takes me back to week one, and it's Romans 13:13. Make sure you don't get absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-by-day obligations that you lose track of time and doze off oblivious to God. Be up and awake to what God is doing. Don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of your day-by-day obligations that you do what? That you lose track of time and you become oblivious to God. Be up and awake to what God is doing. Don't let your calendars decide when you have time to spend hearing the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Like, don't let your calendars decide when you have space to sit and listen to the Holy Spirit guide you and grow you and counsel you and transform you. And don't make this an exercise that you have to get through in your 9 hours. Don't make it a to-do list. We heard some really good stuff last week from Dan about, hey, here's some of the things that you can do that will help you in changing. And it's prayer, and it's reading scripture, and it was spending time with God and praying for you. And those are all really good. These are not the to-do lists where you just have to run through and check them. Hey, I prayed 15 minutes. Hey, I read for 15 minutes. Like, that's not what Dan was telling us last week. Dan was saying, hey, in those moments, give your very best to those things. Don't go home at the end of the day and journal or dear diary and go, dear diary, yes, I did these things again today. Check, check, check. It's not what it's about. Give your very best in these moments. Because we want to go deep with our time with God. Like, if we're serious about wanting transformation in 5 years, if we're serious about having our faith journey look different in 5 years from now, then you need to go deep with God. What we try and do, and it doesn't work this way. What we try and do is, because we think it's efficient, we try and go from one thing to another thing to another thing to another thing quickly. Multitasking. Hey, I'm great at multitasking. Hey, I'm the best. I can do all these things at once. You know what actually happens with multitasking? You just end up doing a ton of things poorly instead of one thing really well. And the way the brain works is actually what happens is that multitasking causes the brain to work less and less efficiently. And there's studies all over the place now, and they're talking about the idea of multitasking. And people that multitask, they make more and more mistakes as the day goes by, and they retain less and less and less. Because the way the brain works, it's like, so when you move from one task to another, what happens is, it's almost like these little hooks that are hooked into one task. And then you've quickly moved on to another task, but those hooks remain attached to the first. And then you move on to the next one and you leave some more hooks and you leave some more hooks. And what happens to you is that you end up with less and less of yourself to give to the task at hand. So, like, it's like driving. Like, my family mocks me all the time about this. But I love music, and I have music in the car all the time until I have to get serious about my driving. When I pull into a busy parking lot, I'm like, I got to turn the music down. And they're like, really? Music's going to help you find the parking spot? I'm like, oh, traffic's really busy. Everyone stop talking. I'm going to turn the music down. And my family, they mock me. They're like, what are you talking about? Like that. But the truth is, it's the same idea. I want to have focus. And so it happens to us. We turn the music down because you're like, oh, now I have to get serious about what I'm doing here. And so I'm going to turn my music down. So for my family, stop mocking me. It's science. It is. The internet told me so. Google told me that was science. What we want to do is we want to go deeply in our time with God. When we ask ourselves that question, what could my life look like in 5 years if I let Jesus have his way? Then we have to understand that it's actually a question about growth. How can my life grow spiritually? How can I respond and grow into what and who God wants me to be and what he wants me to do? And if that's what we're looking at, then we have to give that our full focus. We have to give ourselves fully over to God so that we can understand what he wants us to do. That means our time. It really does. We want to give him the best of our time, not the rest of our time. Here's the thing about God. He's not in a hurry. We are. Like, God's not in a hurry, but we are. And here's another thing about God. He'll never give you confusion. He'll never do it. Deuteronomy 31:18. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. If we're serious about wanting to step into what God has and let him transform us in the next 5 years, know this, he's not in a hurry. You are. And know this, he will not give you confusion in the middle of your faith journey. He will be with you. He won't fail you, and he won't abandon you. God will make time and space for us in our faith journeys. He will give us the time to draw closer to him and be more aware of him and his transforming spirit for us. When we give him our best, we're not going to come out the other side the same people. We won't. It will be impossible if we go on this journey. If you give him the very best of yourself, in 5 years, you will come out different. And that is a good thing. So let's start today.